Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Today with Amazon Business, Shannon Stuckey of Walburn Woodworking helped her team buy 63 circular saws.
Okay, Andy, take it easy.
Now she uses her time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying.
You're listening to the most fraudulent F1 podcast with Dan, a.k.a. Engine Mode 11.
I secretly moonlight as Helmut Marko at race weekends.
And Blake, a.k.a. Brake.
Echo chambers of farts and idiots on Twitter after races.
It's the Engine Braking F1 podcast.
We're here. We're back.
Sweet. They allowed Blake back into the country.
Barely. I was a zombie going through airport security this morning. I got approximately 0 hours of sleep on the plane. It was great. I had one gin and tonic, one bottle of Sauvignon Blanc with my mush meal, whatever that. But how are we doing?
We're good. We're good. We're on episode 8, Blake. Can you believe it?
What's that stat from Tony the other week? It's like 80% of podcasts don't make it past episode like 5 or something. I'm a numbers guy, so I completely forgot everything that she said.
Yeah, same. But episode 8. Hello, welcome. Thanks for joining us. I'm not going to apologize that it's a few days late because it's all Blake's fault. He inconveniently decided to go back home to America to watch the race, see his family. But he's graced us with his presence after flying all the way back this morning. The poor dude hasn't even slept yet. For audio listeners only, he looks about 70 years old at the minute, like he's ready to pass out.
Fuck off.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, my name's Blake, a.k.a. Brake. Used to do some Formula One crap. I'm sure you've heard all this all sometime. And this is my social media husband, Engine Mode 11.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good.
You just crossed 69420 on Twitter the other day, didn't you?
I did, yeah. That's the only number that matters.
Congratulations.
Thank
all right,
you.
Now drop all of your followers and start over.
Okay.
Speed run again. Speed run. We've got a very special guest today, one of my homies from way back in the day. I think we met in 2012 at Force India, and I'll let him regale some of those stories. Why don't we bring our homie in? We've got my brother from another mother, Mr. Connor Daly, in the house. What's going on, dude?
Hello.
Yeah. your flight back was a little bit shorter than mine, man, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I made the executive decision to not stay for the race because I've seen plenty of races in my life. I only go to the Formula One weekend really just to see old friends like you.
Yeah.
and lots of folks that, you know, I used to race with. I actually had an appearance Sunday night in Indianapolis that I had to get back for too, that pays way more than me sitting around in an F1 race thinking,
goodness,
everyone here is more famous than I am.
Yeah, but that's fair enough, man. Like that was kind of my feeling as well going to the race, is like, you know, I felt super disconnected, like I didn't belong there, and I wanted to stay out of everybody's way because I know that people are busy and I know what's going on. But at the same time, it was like running into people like you and a couple of other friends I haven't seen in years, man, genuinely years. So it was like, okay, that's pretty cool. So people that don't know, I met Connor back in 2012. You were doing some aero testing for Force India. We were in that. It wasn't Cranfield, was it? No, it wasn't Cranfield. It was
Silverstone. Yeah, we're still at Silverstone, I think, right?
No, but where was the air?
There
was
There's
a really cool American air base with some
Bruntingthorpe.
Was it Brunting? No, it wasn't Bruntingthorpe either.
Yes, we did. I think. I don't know.
Anyway, it was some straight line aero testing. You were doing some GP3, some GP2 back in the day. Now you're all the way up in some IndyCar. And you were also doing, I listened to your last episode of your podcast. You're doing some Cup Series Roval racing, man.
I got to race everything except for F1. So it's been great. Yeah, we got very, very close. But
honestly, I don't know. I feel like racing, is F1 racing that great? Like, I know this is an F1 podcast, but like, not anymore. Right. Now we got some IndyCar former Euro trash Irish driver on the stream. Let's go. No, but like, so how was your Roval experience? It sounded like you had a very interesting weekend from this. Plug your podcast, by the way, because I didn't know until the other day when we were talking about, I was like, hey, do you want to hop on an episode? And you're like, oh, I'm recording my pod. And you actually just got done recording an episode for your pod tonight. What are we called? Where can they find you?
Yeah, no, we have a podcast called Speed Street. Me and Joey Monaro, who used to work at Barstool Sports. He's from Indiana, like me. Very good impressionist on the internet. He's got a very hilarious TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff. Very, very funny guy and semi-new race fan. He's from Indiana, so he's got a lot of Indy 500 stuff here. Indy 500 experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, we love racing. I mean, it's mainly centered around IndyCar, right? Like IndyCar has a problem of people just don't know about it. And we're trying to do everything we can to push IndyCar more into the mainstream, like F1 has with their television program. Everyone in Europe knew about F1. And like, I knew about F1 because my dad was an F1 driver. I knew about F1 because I like racing. Yeah. But in America, no one had any idea what F1 was. Let's be honest. And
that's super.
Now everyone knows about what F1 is, and it's the cool thing to do. So I've never seen anything like it. What I witnessed in Austin. I know you asked me about NASCAR Cup racing, but yeah, that was fine. It was cool. Whatever. Nice, our car caught on fire. The tire exploded. But like, realistically, we all just came from Austin, and that was quite a weekend of experiences in itself.
Yeah. No, but like, do you feel like since the last time you were at COTA, do you feel like the experience was different? Because last time every time the attendance is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you're getting stars that you apparently don't want to talk to anybody there, which is a whole nother thing. But, there's a lot of people. Like, it's different. There was a lot of Red Bull kit floating around. And I feel like that's their stomping grounds right now.
Well, how I would compare it, right? Like, I was in Austin when Alex Rossi was driving in Formula One, right? The last American to race in Formula One. And very different. I still think we had a lot of people going to Austin, but like a lot of Europeans that just wanted to go check out America, right? And like, you had a ton of Mexican fans coming to support Sergio Perez, right? Like a lot of that. And like, you still filled the place. But now I think like people were competing for tickets because a bunch of Americans wanted to go now.
Because Mexico has their own race now. So like, they're like, why don't we just go see Checo at home? It's cheaper. It's on the home turf.
Exactly.
It's always a super vibe in Mexico. So
yeah. I think the vibe and the experience at COTA this time was like nothing I've ever experienced. And one of the most interesting, like there's many things that I can talk about. And I talked about a lot on our podcast episode today too, is like, we were down there, like, hanging out a lot with Marcus Ericsson, right? Five-year Formula One veteran, like, lots of Formula One races, Indy 500 champion currently.
Yep.
Someone came up to him at our hotel and said, hey, Logan Sargeant, will you take a picture with me?
And was it Dan? Do you see this big, ginger bearded dude?
But it was so, I mean, how disappointing is that? Like, that means that not only have you not watched F1 until it was a show, which again, totally fine. That's not a problem. We actually love that. More attention for Formula One racing in general. Great. Rising tides raise all ships. All that stuff. Exactly, dude. But still, like, how is it's like, not only did he race in Formula One for 5 years, but he's also the Indy 500 champion currently. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's just, yeah. It was like, it hurt the heart. It hurt my soul.
It feels like now Formula One's getting this mainstream kick and IndyCar is still for the purists. And I don't know, Dan, Connor, what do you guys think about what's going to be the next step for that series to make that, you know, to push it that much further? So, you know, this guy, you know, the person that recognizes him, it says, that's the fucking Indy 500 champion. That's Marcus Ericsson. You know, like, what's
there's a
missing?
Lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot that can happen, but it's basically, I don't think if you asked a majority of Americans, like I don't think they would have ever thought Formula One would have taken off like it did. I think because we had NASCAR, like NASCAR was just like NASCAR. And to be fair, NASCAR is still doing great, I would say. Like, I know you said maybe NASCAR has fallen off when I talked to you, but like, to be fair, like if you look at how many people watched the race on Sunday compared to Formula One, like
that
Formula One got
mind,
over a million viewers in America, which is good against football on Sunday, but still up against the NFL, which NFL is king in America, no matter what. NASCAR is still getting almost 3 million people watching their races every weekend. That's a ton of people. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what you think of it. That's a ton of people.
It blows my mind, man. Cause I especially being over here, like, how do we even watch? Do you know how to watch a NASCAR race over here, Dan?
No. It's not on Sky Sports, is it?
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But they don't care. Like, they don't have to have you guys watch it in the UK, right? Like, sadly. That's just what it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. And like all the marketing and all the products and everything of those are all American brands. You don't have these international brands.
I guess it's behind a paywall. Is it behind a paywall in America? Like you have to subscribe or whatever to a certain channel or something, however it works out there.
Is it ESPN
or F1?
NASCAR.
I mean, NASCAR in America is just, it's on NBC and it's on USA Network, which is owned by NBC. So, it's the same as us. We're on NBC. Like we're on network NBC. We have a great TV package.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just, no one knows that it's on. That is our biggest issue, I think, is just the fact that we legitimately are on a network, like major, like it would be on like Sky Sports F1. Like it's a major network. And even like we're on, I think Sky Sports F1 a lot as well. IndyCar is, or we're on something where you can watch it.
Yeah.
But sadly, none of that viewership is taken into the account when you're looking at, you know, ratings overall in the States. Cause that's really what matters.
Piss on those ratings, but it does. That was interesting to see that. Like, I didn't have any appreciation for where NASCAR was at in terms of popularity. So and then to realize that it's actually still thriving, because I feel like it went through this phase where it was kind of a little dark age for a bit.
Yeah, like I agree.
Was it like the early 2000s was booming?
Yeah.
But then it went a bit quiet, and now it's up again.
But realistically, it's always been a powerhouse. It's still growing. And when you look at it overall, right, on a Sunday against football, there were nearly or probably 4 million people watching racing at the same time, which is great. That's huge compared to going up against football. Like, that is good. And then how do we, like, so clearly there is a large group of people that like to watch motor racing, right?
Yep.
Why can't we all watch all of motor racing, right? Like, why?
I'll tell you why.
I like all racing, right? Yeah. Like, I was watching the Formula One race at my house, also watching the NASCAR race at the same time. Now, again, that's because I'm a driver, but
you've got this capacity. You've got a big CPU to watch all the race car shit.
I like cars going fast that pass other cars. I don't care what it is. Don't care what they look like. Don't care what surface they're on. I like it all.
You like Formula E?
No, I don't like that.
got him.
I mean, well, to be fair, I have a lot of friends in Formula E. I went to a Formula E race. I enjoyed it.
I had a blast. I went to the London one. I had a great time.
There's a fundamental problem with that, though. We just saw the Ken Block's newest video, Gymkhana. His newest Gymkhana came out today or yesterday, and I was a huge Gymkhana fan. I have a Subaru STI. I was like, I love that car. It was amazing. This thing is fully electric, and they're like, oh, it's electric Kana, Gymkhana electric. It was I was more disappointed watching that video than I've ever been in my life.
I didn't know it was out. I'll go.
Oh my gosh, it just came out yesterday. You got to watch it. Visually, it's exciting. It's in Las Vegas, but like, oh my gosh, where is the engine sound? I'm sorry, but like, what is happening? I don't. I hear tires squeal all the time. But like,
they need to put one of those big sound systems
flames,
in it. Like,
give me an engine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think we've touched on freaking everything. But that's a little bit in a nutshell where everybody's at in terms of watching racing, and I'm on board with that. Like, I want to watch more of it, but like, also my problem is, like, Formula One is all consuming for me. I'm doing all the analysis and everything else, and I realized actually after talking to your buddy James in the paddock that there's actually a lot of IndyCar data available to the public, a lot of it.
Yes.
So I might end up with negative time on my hands. I'll just do 0 hours of sleep per day, and we'll be good. But so what? Let's talk about you guys want to get into the weekend, because there's a lot of stuff to dig into, and I think you were there. Dan probably consumed all of it between changing nappies and getting sick.
Yeah, all the good stuff. All the good stuff.
Yeah. So to be fair, though, and we'll get back to this, I didn't actually get to watch the race until Monday night in the hotel, and I had a tall boy 24-ounce White Claw, and I got white girl wasted watching the F1. I was like, God, I've got a headache. Oh.
Could be like our new unique perspective. We just get absolutely wasted and try and do an F1 review.
Yeah,
under the influence.
Somebody was talking about that on Twitter. You know, like, have you guys seen Drunk History?
Oh,
where
yeah.
You get celebrities and they just get sloshed and they
great
like,
show.
Oh my God! But it's like drunk F1 recaps. And then, but all that's going to happen if you do that is Dan's going to make a George Russell Stan account. Probably that's what he actually really wants to do.
Or George didn't get a lot of attention this weekend. I felt bad for him. I didn't see him once. I didn't see him on track. And I was like, until he hit old Carlos, but I was like,
yeah, poor dude. That was we'll get to that one. So real quick though. What are you doing in the off season, Connor? Like what's your plan right now? I saw your post, you're like, can we please go back to the track?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, to be fair, my off season has been quite busy because, like, right, our season ended at Laguna Seca, middle of September, right? And that weekend, my sponsor, Bit Nile, Todd Ault, he was like, "Do you want to go NASCAR racing?" And I said, "Yep." And
drive fast.
We went NASCAR racing. So, like, the next 2 weeks, you know, we were on the IndyCar sim doing like, basically, we do a lot of IndyCar sim work. I was on the sim yesterday or Monday. I was on the sim Friday before or Thursday before COTA. We were doing a lot of correlation work from the season, try to develop a better tire model over the off season, all that stuff. So did a lot of that, but then straight into getting ready for this cup race. So that thankfully keeps us busy, keeps the body engaged, keeps the mind engaged.
Yeah. And you're smelling tires, fuel, and getting feedback and just keeping sharp.
Just, it's great. Yeah. And so, and then went to COTA. And then, so, you know, I'm going to see my lady in LA this weekend. And then next weekend, I'm doing a 24 hours of lemons race with Travis Pastrana.
No
in Houston,
way,
so.
Dude. Those are so much fun. At Motorsport Ranch Houston?
MSR. Yep. We're racing a Chevy El Camino.
Oh, hell yeah,
and
brother.
A taxi cab. We're an old taxi cab. So,
oh, yeah, brother.
Very excited to do that and hopefully not die. Travis called me last night and I asked, so we are drinking in between, like, the apparently the race is separated Saturday.
Two 12 hour runs, right?
Exactly. And so we are having some celebratory beverages in between those stints. And he said, absolutely.
Sure.
As long as we, you know, keep our minds right, keep everything going, of course.
Sober in the morning.
Respect the surface. Yeah.
For sure.
So that'll be fun. Yeah. Dude, that'll be exciting.
I did one of those back in 2009. It was a first gen RX-7. God, it was fun. I've never done one. It's a shit fight, bro. Like, the back bumper said, "Who wants a mustache ride?" And somebody cut out a piece of brown carpet and to the front that was shaped like a mustache. It was special, dude. That's super cool, though.
And other than that, basically after the November 4-5 weekend, everything kind of calms down, goes back. Like, we have another sim day. Like, we have another two sim days in November.
I'm resisting the urge to probe you about all the sim stuff.
You can if you want.
We'll save that for another time.
Like, we're hiring dudes, like, left. Like, we're begging for people to come help with our sim program because it's so important. We get one test day before our next season. One test day. Yeah.
No. So you guys haven't? Have you guys changed tires or chassis? Or anything substantial for next? Okay, cool. So that makes sense. It's like, it's just a refresher day, right? It's like, here's a race car, guys.
Yeah. But what the teams are allowed to do, right? So We have a generic, like, I guess, tire model that's kind of given to us by Chevy, Pratt & Miller, who run the sim.
Yeah.
But, like, McLaren have come up with their own tire model.
Yep.
Penske have their own tire model. And so now we're like, well, shoot, maybe we need one, too.
Yeah. Do we need to upgrade from the Chevy one?
Well, exactly. So I think there's a lot. Like, I mean, think of how many hours and dollars you can throw into a sim program to hopefully make it better. I mean, it can be endless.
My day rate's about $3,000 if you want to talk.
Exactly. Yeah. So like
I've done some things.
And I mean, so we have put a lot into the sim side, but again, if like, I would say a lot of the places this year we went to after developing a couple different setup changes that we wanted to try at the real race weekend, I would say at Long Beach, it got us, let's say 3/10, right? Which is important.
Fuck.
Let's like, improved. We, instead of qualifying 17th, we've been god awful at Long Beach.
Yeah.
Instead of qualifying 17th to 27, we qualified like 13th, which is like, hey, that was purely based on stuff that we developed at the sim.
Yeah.
And again, if we can take another step forward, that would be great.
When you start hitting home runs in the sim and you translate them to the track, that's when you start to make your money out of spending those days in the DIL.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's fucking hell when you're like, this isn't realistic.
I hate the simulator. I'm not going to lie. I love real racing. But the problem is I remind myself every time because every morning I fly at 8 a.m. to Charlotte and I fly home at night because we fly to Charlotte to use the simulator and I live in Indianapolis. So it's a long trip, long day. But you just have to remind yourself, hey, if this can slide us up the grid a little bit,
dude,
it's worth it, the
rising tide thing. No, that's super cool.
Yeah.
So looking forward to next season, but why don't we get back to Austin? What do we got on the headline this weekend, Dan? What do we got?
Well, what do you want to talk about? I mean, we could talk about the George Russell terrorism tour, which is continuing around the world.
God. Yeah, the loafers loafers and chinos, no socks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And shirtlessness. But like there's a couple things that happened this weekend, and I was kind of I did get to go into the paddock a little bit. That's when I ran into Connor. I hadn't seen this dude in freaking ages. But it was Saturday was actually a pretty, especially from being around all the Red Bull people, the passing of Dietrich Mateschitz was pretty sad. That dude's done a massive load for Formula One as a sport in general, fielding two teams for how many years now, and the number of drivers on the grid that might not have ever had a chance in the sport without him. So
yeah,
that was
huge,
man.
I mean, I didn't really have too many interactions with him, but like I said on Twitter, every time I did see him, he always had a smile on his face.
Dude, he was the kind of person that would show up to the track and you wouldn't know he was there, and he wouldn't want you to know that he was there. He's just like under the radar, not in the press or media or anything, and he's just there just to enjoy being around the people and seeing it happen. So that's pretty sad. And I don't know what's going to change with that, with those teams or the sport or the brand itself, but dude was a powerhouse in a lot of ways.
I imagine his son will probably step up, won't he? Because I think his son's quite into it still.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I believe so.
But yeah,
he's quite young as well.
Those guys, it was successful for them too, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
They might have spent a lot of money to get into it, but you got to spend money to make money sometimes.
Yeah,
and they did it.
And they're making money now, so that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, hand over fist.
You see that stuff growing. But as a really nice gesture, it was really cool to see the team take the Constructors, winning their first Constructors Championship since 2013.
Yeah. Their first since we left as well. That's fucking great.
Yeah, exactly. I've been there since 2015 to 2021. And they started doing pretty well after both of us shitters finally left. So
you're welcome, Red Bull fans.
Yeah, you're welcome, dorks. A couple debates. I want to get both your opinions on them. Verstappen takes win number 33. He overtakes Alonso with 32 wins. Do we start to consider Max Verstappen as one of the greats? He doesn't have to be the greatest of all time, but is he competing for that title now? Is he starting to be considered by either of you? Go on, Connor.
I was just gonna say, yeah.
Go on. Short answer, isn't it, for you?
I mean, I would say I've seen this before. Sebastian Vettel. I mean, it's that level of dominance when I was coming up through the series, F3, F2, all that stuff.
And you're seeing that happen. You're like, this is insane.
I just see it again. Yeah, I mean, like Red Bull is in a place right now where they are dominant. Like last year, you know, it was a fight to the end, right? It was a fight. But like until someone comes and dethrones them, I could see him winning 4 championships in a row. I mean, it happens a lot in F1. Michael Schumacher. Fernando only won 2 in a row, but like we see it with Vettel. If you got something going, if you got the juice, you're not going to lose it. You know what I mean?
No, like exactly.
It's easy to be like, once you're up, like we saw it with Mercedes, right? Become
Lewis unbeatable. Plus the Mercedes car was phenomenal. Oh. And then when Nico showed up that year, that was spectacular. Those were some fireworks that year. You know, I feel like I need to go back and watch that entire season highlights because it was chaos and it was elbows out and it was dirty. But I think he's got to be like, because like to me, Alonso's one of the greats. But if you look at like 32 race wins, Max is overtaking it. Yes, the seasons are longer, but you know, he what 2 in a row, Alonso, Max 2 in a row.
Yeah,
he's in the mix. So I've got some trivia for you guys. I don't want to see because I don't know this stuff. That's why I have to look this stuff up first because I was on a Reddit talk, right?
He always asks I don't the go questions. Into Reddit. He asks the questions so he doesn't look stupid.
No, I know. I've looked stupid before and it fucking sucks. So I'll preface this to make it easier. I wouldn't have known this answer. I'll tell you that. So what do we got? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Max Verstappen has the 6th most Formula One wins. Who are the 5 drivers above him?
Can I go first?
Yeah.
You can both go. If you both get it, Team Connor Dan wins.
Michael Schumacher, Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
I would say Vettel still. Yeah. Who else was way better than everyone else? I would say, wait, you said he just beat Alonso, right? Yeah.
So Alonso's now 7th.
So there's 5 in front of Max. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. We've got 3 behind Hamilton, Michael, and yeah,
those are the easy ones. Would it be like, Senna didn't have that many wins, did he? Yeah.
He did. He had 51.
Okay, yeah. Senna. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Who was one of his mates?
Prost.
Yeah.
Hamilton 103, Schumacher 91, Vettel 53, Prost 51, Senna 41, Verstappen 33, Alonso 32.
Yeah, I mean, Verstappen has a chance to overtake all those guys too. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Especially with the season lengths. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's so many more races too, which I respected him saying that, right? He was like, hey, look, we're racing more now than we used to, but.
The dude does keep it a buck. He very, very rarely he'll be like, it's not that big of a deal. Just wait, I'll show you, and I'll tell you when it's a big deal. But right now, it's not. So,
and to be fair to Max, he still responds to my text messages. So a lot of other guys don't. So I respect that. And he's double world champion.
You know what? I send him a message maybe once a year just to say congrats on something, and he always replies. So
yeah,
he's a dude, and
that's respectable because it goes a long way. Like a lot of like Formula One right now, I still think Formula One drivers are the most famous humans on the earth because they're athletes all around the world, elite athletes and movie stars. And that is the combo. That's the elite combo. I legitimately think that Brad Pitt over the weekend was less sought after than any Formula One. Well, let's be honest, Ferrari or Red Bull or Mercedes guys. I truly think that. And I saw them scampering around them. I never saw one F1 driver stop his feet once when he was out in the public. Never saw him stop walking, except for Kevin Magnussen. And Kevin's the only one who stopped to talk to me, I think. And Bottas, he talked to me. But like the rest of them, I had to walk with them. And I was like, hey, anyway, great to see you. See you guys later.
Yeah, exactly. It's like one of the things. It's just like, I just want to say hi. I don't need an hour of your time.
No, it's just a quick chat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But it's good. I think he's still on planet Earth.
Which I love. I respect that.
Yeah. So the weekend, I'm working on a video on this. I recorded probably like 2 hours of B-roll, and it's kind of like my first weekend as a spectator, because you've told me what you thought about that. You know, like when we talked before, you're like, if I'm at a racetrack, I want to be driving a car. If I'm at a racetrack and I'm not driving a car, I'm there to see people that I know that I don't usually get to see, you know, and just to enjoy the socializing part of it. Because my conclusion is that it's so difficult to actually watch a Formula One race at the track. I did have one moment where I got super emotional for no reason at all. And it was watching the GT Endurance Masters. So it's like a lot of old Le Mans cars, right? And the sounds from some of those things and seeing like the, you know, the sports prototype cars taking turn one and the movement, the sounds, how fast they're moving. It was like, you know, the Formula One cars look more impressive than that, fine. But these things, there was something about them, man. It reminded me of like when I was probably in 2010, the first race I went to was the Petit Le Mans. Or maybe it was 2008. Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, that was a super cool event. Like that was my first motorsports experience. And this is like,
I was probably there.
Probably were, yeah. And like, yeah. It was cool to see that again. And I was like, that's cool. But like, in terms of like figuring out what's going on, I was lost the whole weekend, man. Like without a timing tower, at least, and a timing screen, like qualifying, it was nuts. But we had, let's start at the beginning of the weekend. We had a bunch of the young drivers in. We had Giovinazzi back in.
Yikes.
I didn't see there was too much interesting going on there.
Oh my God. Well, it was like, what, the third lap or whatever it was, and he puts it into a wall.
Yeah.
Italian, my favorite Jesus. Thing was hearing Jacques Villeneuve's opinion of that. That was like, what, I am not allowed to say what it was, but my gosh, I am a big fan of Jacques Villeneuve. After
Jackie,
this weekend,
Jackie,
we
Newtown
became like
is
best friends.
Jackie Newtown is spicy, dude. He's never short of hot takes, that bloke.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, I mean, that was, it was interesting. So, what's the deal with Sargeant? Is he going to get the seat next year if he gets the points?
I mean, that's what they say, right?
Yeah, like, he was doing a lot of stuff for Williams, wasn't he? In Williams kit, walking around and doing talks with them and things like that. So it was pretty much all but announced, I think, from the stuff they were doing together.
It seemed like it's a done deal. So it's just, what does he need? Does he need to finish a certain place in the final race to get enough points for the super license?
I believe so, but again, it comes down to super license points, doesn't it? And we've had this discussion before. I don't think anyone fucking has a clue what super license points is.
None of them.
I don't even think the FIA know how it works.
I know we don't know about it in America.
You guys are like half points. It's like, you some bitch. You can win the
most offensive thing I've ever seen in motorsport. Honestly.
That fucking we've gone to the detail at length about that, but it's fucking shameful. But the conclusion is, it's just the F1 group keeping the money in all their homies' pockets, getting all the young drivers, forcing them to pay their mates that own the teams, you know, millions for a F2 F3 season. It is what it is. It's so transparent. Like, don't even like the fact that you can have some of the best motor racing drivers in the world in one of the most competitive series in the world getting, you know, half points. It's like, fuck off, man. It pisses
me off.
Well, I think
also when they made that system, though, it was a different time. You know, it was a time when Formula One didn't have the juice that it does now. Like, there were teams that were struggling for funding. And I think now people are like, well, we have 8 million sponsors on our car. And like, they're probably turning down money. You know what I mean? Like, they don't need to turn away guys who probably don't qualify to be an F1, but have a ton of money, or their dad owns Russia or something like that. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's
no names.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're kind of past that era. You know what I mean?
So you think the pay driver's gone?
I mean, it's never gone. Yo,
no,
you gotta. Yeah, you know, you can get anything you want as long as you got enough money. But
you
got
to step up now and buy an entire team, like Lance.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's the thing, right? Yeah,
the bar has been raised. Yeah, you can't buy a seat. You've got to buy the whole freaking thing.
Yeah, which is wild because there are people out there who probably will do that because it's a good investment now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're getting so much more exposure through all of these other things, which is crazy. So the other thing we had in free practice was the Pirelli tire test. And I don't know if there's very much interesting to talk about that. I just find it weird that...
Absolutely nothing. It was the dullest session. I mean, I know FP isn't exactly most thrilling, but even then, yeah, I was like, no, So
it just the whole thing seems so fucked that they're like, well, we want to go to warmerless tires, but we haven't allocated any time for testing. So the schedule's too busy. Why don't we shoehorn these tests into race weekends? And yeah. It's like,
good news, though.
Classic Pirelli, that one.
Good news. They're doing it again in Mexico.
Love that. Just can't wait. A really relevant circuit for that kind of thing. And I guess any circuit's relevant, but it's like this thing where they start the tires out super cold and they're dog shit until the end of the run. Then they come in and they're warmer than they went out with cold blankets. And then they kind of maybe work by the end of the high fuel runs. And it's like, I see that happening. I'm just like, somebody hasn't thought this through very well, have they? And the conclusion was, I don't think they have.
But that, quite a negative response in the paddock for sure. Yeah, I heard everyone was thrilled.
I heard nothing good. And I didn't have to ask either. So,
yeah.
Classic.
I will say about our FP1, though, our boy Alex Palou, IndyCar champion, only 2/10 off Lando Norris on the same tire. No big deal. Not a bad showing for old buddy there. So
that's not bad. Honest. I mean, yeah. And like, especially in a car that, like, for example, I think Daniel still got it, but I think he's one of those guys that has not adapted to that car. But I think Dan still got it. Like, for sure, I think he does. But there's something about that. So for Alex to hop in that car in a free practice one session and be like in the mix, I think super cool.
There are many, 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 because I see them on Twitter, like F1 fans who like literally think IndyCar is like absolute baloney. Like, and I understand that like F1 is great. But like to say that there's like a huge difference in the level of drivers is like truly the most ignorant thing you could possibly say.
It's
because ask Fernando, you know what I mean? I think Fernando had one of the best drives that like of the weekend in Austin. I was awesome. Cars flying through the air, brings it back in, put some new tires on that sucker and let's ride. You know what I mean? Like that's motorsport. Like you get beat and bang around a little bit, well, guess what?
Yeah.
If all the wheels are still on it and the steering wheel is still straight, even if it's a little off, we're going to finish that race. You know what I mean? I love that.
That was high.
Penalty, a bunch of that penalty. I don't even, it makes me.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Yeah. We'll get to it. You can just, you know what I need but you to still, do is like stew on that. And we'll get to it in a second. Don't worry.
With respect
to
the drivers, I think it's important any chance we do get. And Alex did have a chance, which again, it's just an FP1 session, but to still go out there, not look like a clown, do everything right, be fast.
Keep it out of the wall.
Yeah, and Lando right now, I would say, is a very, very quick driver, like very, very highly regarded. So it's just something that, again, I think people, instead of disrespecting a series that like contains F1 drivers, NASCAR drivers, IndyCar drivers, whatever it is, like, why can't we respect it a little bit more? Like, let's just be okay with it. You know what I mean?
That's
we're not asking to be put above anyone. We know F1's the top, but like, don't go out here and like diss in people's entire lives worth of work to try to, there's only 20 people in F1. Where else are we going to go? Somewhere else.
Exactly. You know what I mean? But that's
not everyone gets the right shot to do it.
No,
it's 100% how life works.
No, but like, I think that a lot of that is just toxic dorks on the internet. You know, honestly, like you see, you know, some of the accounts that just stand super hard on one thing. And it's like, you can appreciate the sport in any way you want, but do not try to pretend that you get it because you don't.
Yeah, it's true. And I did, there was one moment too where we were getting a tour of the Mercedes garage and the guy who was giving us, it was me. No pictures allowed. Me, Antonio Felix Da Costa, Mitch Evans and their boys, right? Like I know them for forever. Yeah. And the guy, he looks at me, he's like, oh yeah, you guys are all racing drivers, right? Yeah. And he's like, oh, IndyCar, oh, cool. Like, you guys raced here. You guys are like 30 seconds off us, huh, in qualifying. I was like, no. I mean, he's like, we're obviously going to be slower. We're heavier. We don't have assists. We don't have near as much power as you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, no, you were definitely like 30 seconds slower. That's crazy. I was like, we were 12 seconds slower. Like, let's be honest. It's a huge track. I get it. You want to, it's like, why? Like, why say that 30 seconds? You might as well be rowing a boat around that track. Like,
You were on your bicycle.
I was so mad. I immediately wanted to leave I was like, you know what, Mercedes, you guys are cool. Silver cars. I get it. Patronus. All right, I'm out of here.
but to be fair, that was probably somebody that doesn't get wheel. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't get it.
Maybe.
Doesn't get it.
It was just one of those things that I was like, oh, that's so F1. Like,
Yeah,
I get it. Annoying. You guys are faster. I get it. I know.
Yeah, but like, yeah, 100%. The cars.
But I don't mind that. Like, I'm like, hey, cool. I love F1 too.
Yeah, but like,
I really do.
Arguably, I mean, I think we had some good racing in Austin, but
yeah.
Arguably, F1 racing is not particularly that exciting most of the time. Like, you know, whoever's won most of the races tends to run away with it. And it's like you get 5 or 6 laps in striking distance. And then the person, if they don't get the overtake done, they burn up their tires and that's it. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel like that's like, I
sadly,
struggle with this.
It's encapsulating though. Formula One is encapsulating because of the magnitude of the events. And I think, and the pure, I mean, it's so cool to see Ferrari against Mercedes, against McLaren, against, you know,
where's
whoever
Ford
it
at,
is.
Though? Where's Ford at?
Yeah, I mean, Chevrolet, you know what I mean? Like, it's, but it is encapsulating because, again, it's got the attention and it looks cool. It is fast. The product, IndyCar's product isn't the problem. It's just no one knows about it. And we have a great product. It's just we got to get
it. It's a marketing thing, isn't it?
It's a marketing thing. It's all marketing. Yeah.
So did you actually, Dan, did you guys have all caught up on the race? You guys?
Yeah.
Should we rip through it and talk about the Formula One Grand Prix of the USA year 2022, the 10th anniversary race?
Oh, was it the 10th? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it was kind of a going down. When we were in, I'm sure you felt the same way seeing that, Connor, when F1 went to the US again. And it was like, because I was at Force India in 2012. That's probably the year I met you.
Same.
Are you?
Yeah.
Were you at the? I think you were there with the team, weren't you?
USGP.
Yeah, in 2012.
Yeah, because I was like signed to the team, but like it was like not cool yet to have reserve drivers and like test driver, development drivers. So like, especially not Americans. So it was like, oh, he's our guy, but like we won't give him any shirts. You know what I mean?
Dude, you know what? I remember it was you, me, James Collado, Jules Bianchi, and Richard Mille.
At Hooters. Were you at Hooters?
Yeah, I came to Hooters.
I forgot you were there.
Yeah, dude, I remember that.
Oh my gosh.
That was such a, like, it's like, and it's like, you know, you got Richard Mille and he's like, I want some wings. And he paid
for
everything.
Here's my $500,000 watch.
Yeah,
would you like some wings?
Exactly what happened. But he's such a freaking nice dude. I didn't know who he was at first. And then I was like, oh, you and all your mates have those houses on your wrist. Understood.
Yes.
I know you guys. But that was super cool. But
yeah, one of my favorite Jules stories as well. Like, because like we knew Jules growing up, obviously, RIP, that guy's a legend. But like, man, great story. Like, incredible environment there. Like, what a hilarious memory.
Yeah, just like Collado, Bianchi, you, Richard Mille, and a couple of his work buddies. And I think I came with you or met you. They're like, oh, we're going to get Hooters. I was like, okay, cool. I'll see you there. And I was like,
the Hooters.
Fucking hell and fire. But now we've got this race. It was predominantly a 2-stop, hard and medium mixed race. Nobody wanted to touch those soft tires. Everybody burned up their softs in qualifying. Did you notice somebody doing something weird other than Aston Martin scrubbing all their tires, but in qualifying?
In qualifying?
Mm.
No. Because I probably wasn't paying that much attention. Let's be real, Blake.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, I couldn't. I was sat. So in qualifying, I was set at the top of turn one. I had no idea what was going on. But I did catch something, and I went and looked at it later. So I was like, okay, Max has done an outlap. Why is his first lap a slow lap? Because he's not pushing into turn one. And when they're pushing into turn one, you see the ass slapping the ground and sparks getting ejected out the back. And it's super cool looking. And they brake so late. What are they braking at, like 75 meters? Something like, it's just nutty.
That's a hill to help you too.
Exactly. So it's just like, you just like throw it in there. But he did a slow lap before his push lap in the qualifying three. Nobody else did that. And you have to do that deliberately because in qualifying, you take all the fuel out of the car. So that was something weird I noticed. So obviously it didn't pay off because we had a Ferrari, a couple redheads on the front row.
That's okay, because if this season's taught us anything, it doesn't matter if Ferrari are on the front row.
Ah, you know what? Was this the first race win of a driver not on the front row? Oh, but he started P2, didn't he? Yeah, fine. It was qualifying. But like, I think that's a stat from Coda, is There's not been a winner that's not been on the front row on the race start. But
that is a fact. I did hear that. Someone did tell me that.
But because of the penalties, he did start. Carlos, yes. Shocking race start. Got a lot of wheel spin. And Max leading into turn one. What happens next? What's your favorite mate done, Dan?
The George Russell terrorism tour of the world continues.
He made his stop
in America.
Yeah, exactly. He's had a drive-by, an absolute murder. Yep. What did you think of that when you saw it, Connor? And then what did you think about it after you saw it later? What's your take?
So that corner is quite tough. Like, I remember we tested there in IndyCar. We raced there in IndyCar. And, like, it narrows up very aggressively, right? And it's an awkward angle because you're going uphill, track flattens out, and then you're immediately going downhill. So it's kind of
for a bit, aren't you?
Well, yes. But as a visual, if you bury yourself down that inside, you better hope you got enough steering lock to get around that corner because it is tight. Like, you got to use every bit of space.
Or enough road to use on the exit.
Exactly. And, I mean, George essentially used his car like a missile and, like, stabbed Carlos in the chest. Like, he didn't hit him in the wheel. He hit him in the side pod. Like,
do we have a new torpedo?
Oh, it's crazy, man. It was such an odd angle because Carlos, you could tell, he knew he lost the position, right? So as a driver, when you lose that position, you try to immediately line yourself up to get a much straighter exit, right, down that hill. Yep. So he might have a chance at Max at the next corner. So again, Carlos was more at an angle because he had got himself rotated way early, and George was just locked up. And again, George, if there's no cars there, George makes the corner, right? He's fine. He locks up, maybe gets a little wide. But the problem is you're at the race start and everyone's, you know, all over the place. So it was never going to work.
Yeah. It was just one of those things. Like, it looked like Carlos did, you know, quite a wide line, and then Russell locked up and he's carrying so much speed as a result of that. And it's like they were fighting for the same piece of track. But realistically, Russell looked like he was going to struggle to keep it on the track full stop. Never mind going too wide through that corner. So I think that's a confirmed act of terrorism there again, potentially.
5 seconds.
For Carlos, man.
all you get for that is 5 seconds.
I think that's fair, but it's unfortunate that it took Signs out. That sucks to see. Signs is 60 and F's this year, dudes.
That's rough.
That's a shit season, man. Like, I know they've had troubles all season, but come on. Oh,
Carlos is a guy too. Like, he's like, I mean, he can throw it down. When they were in Q3, I had a bunch of people sitting around me. They're like, oh, who's going to be on pole? And they were saying, I was like, I'm Carlos all the way. Like, I'm going to lock that in. And I was the only one who said Carlos. And I was like, yep. I mean, he's been quick all weekend. He's got the juice right now. Like, he's going to do it.
Yep. Now that's unlucky. I hope they turn that around next season because, like, they're making this too easy for Red. They're making the RB18 look dominant. The RB18 has not been the faster car until the break, honestly. Yeah, and they're still faster over a single lap. They're still faster. So it's not like Red Bull are not dominant right now, but they are dominating. But
it's interesting how that works. I do find it fascinating because Ferrari for sure have been so fast, but there's been so many moments where I have one eye going this way, one eye going the other, because I'm like, what? How did they do that? And then, or how can they not replicate the race pace? Or how are they not? I don't know. It does seem like the Red Bull has great race pace at times, but even when they don't, they're just always putting themselves in the right position. And, like, if you put a driver who has the skills in a position to succeed, he's going to do it because that's our job. Always put yourself in a position to be successful. And if everyone executes, then you're successful.
You're laughing, but it's not everybody's on a different page, different times. So Ferrari are having mares, the drivers are having mares. You know, I wouldn't say either of them are particularly mistake prone, but when they have made mistakes, they've been very punishing, which is, you know, just taking points off the table. Whereas Max has been, you know, his qualifying performances have not been flawless. They have not been flawless. But he's always thereabouts, and come race day, it's been solid this season. So, but
you gotta be perfect.
Yeah. So Bottas gets a shit start. I guess Stroll has another stinker of a race start, man. Stroll's race starts the last two races. Did you see his replay from Japan? on the race, it was in the restart. It's like, oh my God, it was pretty thrilling. I was like, holy shit. What else we got? We're on kind of like, so there's two overriding things from this weekend. I think it was A, wind impacting the car balance, which is always a huge factor there, and tire wear or degradation. We're not sure if it was wear based, but it did look like from some of the Ferrari comms that they were expecting to be wear limited. And then after Leclerc's first stint, you know, five laps later, if they've had the tires scraped, they came back and said wear is better than expected. So obviously they did fit another medium for their third stint because it was an easy two stop. What do you feel about Coda? Like when you guys come here, is it windy?
Often? Sadly, we don't get to race here anymore. It was a short-lived experience, but the wind obviously very, very effective. Any car that produces high downforce, like an open-wheel car, right? Like we're super affected by wind. This track in particular, as well, I think can be aggressive on the tires. But like if you have a headwind at the end of that back straight, I mean, you're breaking 50 to 100 meters later. I mean, it's so much assistance in the grip of the car on the brakes. And you know, if you have a tailwind through the S section, you know, turns 3, 4, 5, whatever that, I mean, that's it becomes quite difficult.
So, yeah, it's a very different car.
It was very windy.
So through my years of engineering cars there, like that track is super exposed. 7, 8, 9, as you crest over the hill, the hairpin turn 11 can be very, very messy. And like you said, the balance changes through the S's are huge depending on the conditions you get. And like you might have to set up the car completely differently, but you know, you've always got to hedge your bets for like, all right, here's what we're going to qualify with and here's what we're going to race with. But that was super nuts. We heard a lot of people talking about that. Like Bottas spun it, and I'm pretty sure that he got caught out by the wind there.
Yeah, I mean, wind for us is obviously like we have five oval races, right? And if you want to talk about maximum wind sensitivity, you go to an oval race. And that is just, we can feel every gust, every change in mile an hour.
Oh shit.
And obviously at that speed, even on road courses in Formula One, like that's why people say it's so effective. And you know, we have I have a wild amount of experience with that at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, because wind at 244 miles an hour, everything is chaotic.
Yeah, exactly.
And you feel everything. Like the wind can be so powerful that you're going so fast that you can feel the chassis move in the sidewall of the tire. So like it's not loose, but you get a moment of wind that pins the front and the car slides. So it feels like it's like you can feel the wind changing the balance of the car at that speed. And it's insane. So that's why drivers hate wind. So it messes everything up for us.
Yeah. Now that's nuts. So we've got Bottas spinning, causing that safety car around lap 18. Leclerc and a couple of others get a cheap stop, which helped them out. And obviously Leclerc's engineers feedback to them is like, you know what, that medium could have gone a bit longer. But let's talk about Alonso and Stroll for a minute, because I feel like that was one of the, we've already mentioned that. And those are teammates next season, by the way.
Teammates.
Is that going to be awkward? Let's come back to that, Dan. Lawrence Stroll, Fernando Alonso, boxing match, YouTube boxing match. Who's your money on?
Alonso. I think Alonso's got
the Dark Lord.
Yeah, I think the Dark Lord has got some mean moves underneath.
Connor, who's your money on? Boxing match. Lawrence. So Dad Stroll versus Nando.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know Lawrence Stroll. That guy's a big fella, but I mean, Alonso,
he's not fighting fair, is he?
He's not fighting fair. He's got this look in his face that he's like, I will punch you in the throat. And like, that's it. And like, all right, it's over.
Magic Alonso with the throat punch.
Yeah. Just a quick, you know, Adam's apple slap.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're out.
Yeah.
So, did you, like, when you saw that shunt, when him flying through the air, did that trigger any memories or did you not even recall that? Because you had a huge one coming out of the tunnel in Monaco in 12 or 13.
Well, it's the exact same thing caused it, right? You can't block in reaction to other cars. Like, no. I'm sorry, but like when you're going that fast,
no.
You know, that's what caused that Monaco incident. That's what caused a lot of incidents in racing, because again, we want to be defensive as drivers. You know, we're very selfish. We have to defend, but you have to defend properly or else it goes very wrong.
And it could have gone even further wrong if you looked at where the gap was in the hole, the wall there. It's like, if you land on that gap, it's like, fuck.
It's awful. You know what I mean? Like it's something that when we're at that speed, right? Like we have a lot going on as drivers. We only have those two tiny little mirrors, like not a lot of vision.
And they're not good.
You see shapes. You don't see cars. You see shapes. And so when you see that shape behind you coming up, you're like, okay, I got to make this move. But you're also like, you're still paying attention to your rev lights. You're still paying attention to what's going on in your steering wheel. And there might be a car in front of you too, that you're trying to time, stay in the toe, whatever it is. So again, sometimes we make a move too late, but you have to stay ahead of that. Because again, Fernando, that straight is long enough to where you got to stay in that toe as long as you can, because you want to launch around this guy.
Yeah.
And the launch effect that you can get from that slipstream is quite powerful. That's why, like, if you get this suck up to the guy in front of you, if you're the master of the suck, right?
We prefer to call it a suck off. When you're getting sucked off down the straight.
If you're the chief of the suck off, right? If you're getting that run, you have to time it perfectly. Like, it's so because if you don't, if for one moment you have to back off the throttle, that run is dead. And think of how important it is for track position, right? So Fernando makes that move. You make it, maybe giving him a little bit of room to like move, but you can't move that late. And sadly, there's nothing Fernando can do. That's not Fernando's fault. It's not because it's the responsibility. That's why you can't move in reaction to, which is usually a blocking rule. I don't know what it is in F1 now. It seems like you can do whatever you want, but it's just that's what happens. I've been a victim of it before. I got penalized this year in IndyCar for making a move in reaction to Grosjean. I got penalized for blocking Grosjean, and he didn't even try and pass me. And Grosjean at the end was like, I don't know why you got a penalty there. But if you look at the video, like Grosjean made a move, like just to kind of test the waters. And I blocked late because I didn't see. And they gave me a penalty for it. I was like, well, he didn't actually try and pass me. And they're like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm like, son of a gun, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, it's like, let him, but it's let
because
him run into
I me. Didn't see it early enough. I'm looking at break points. You're looking at everything on your steering wheel, all the buttons and stuff that you got to do. And sometimes you just don't catch it. But it's still, you can catch it. You know what I mean? You can block earlier than that. And he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't. He'd made his move and he'd commit to sticking online. But that was pretty terrifying. But that Alpine is a tank, man. That thing must be 100 kilos overweight, looking at walking away from that shit. Those track rods. But they should probably introduce some weight into their mirror assembly, because I can't believe they got done. Like, I don't know what the
flippy flappy mirror.
Yeah, the flappy bird. Now, the historic precedents of what to do in that kind of situation. I don't know what.
Well, I think there's been a few times this season where, and typically,
his name is Kevin.
Yeah,
his name is Kevin.
Kevin got himself meatball flagged a few times for having his end plate
lap one traveling terrorist.
Yeah, him and George, they go to the same camp. and I think Haas basically were like, well, if it's good enough for us, why isn't it good enough for them? And I kind of get it. But what frustrates me is we all saw it flapping about on TV. So why the hell did no one there at race control or something see it?
It's the same thing. Like, there's another instance of the wheel arch on Verstappen's car broke midway through the race. And it's like, and people are like, oh, they're cheating. They're things. It's like, it fucking broke. Should they have been meatball flagged? I don't know, but the FIA have done like a lip service about, oh, we're going to have more capacity after last year's, you know, like Massey was overloaded and all this. We're going to have more capacity. And I see nothing this season that says that they're doing, you know, they have more headspace and more processing power to deal with infringements real time, because doing these infringements and sorting out penalties after the race is so painful. It makes the sport such a farce. Like, yes, it's got so much momentum and power right now because everybody's consuming it, but people are becoming, I mean, to be fair, most of the people pissing and moaning about everything else, it's like, you're not going to stop watching, mate. You fucking love it. You're a pervert. You absolutely love it. You have no personality or life. This is all you have. You have to keep watching this as disenchanted as you are with it. But yeah,
that's us.
But yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It was me. My entire personality is Max Verstappen. That's it. Not really. But like, what do we do about that? Like, what can they do? Like, they need capacity to police these things. They need that, you know, it's like, oh, there's something thing, you know, like usually what happens if there's something flapping around on a car, they'll get on the FIA, get on the radio to whoever is the person who's responsible for legality and reliability at a team. They'll be like, talk to us, check this in the stop. Is this coming off? Is this an issue? For example, like the Haas, the front wing in plate flapping around, it's like that is eventually coming off. And it does usually take them a handful of laps to address it. Checo's front wing in plate seemed like it came off pretty quickly, but I don't know what's this, you know, how long do they need to address it to be like, is this going to hang on or not?
Yeah.
It's just annoying, all these rules and interpretations, and it's just making it a farce. And you have all this shit fighting on Twitter. Most of the people have no fucking clue what they're talking about in the first place, but that's okay. We don't either. But it's like, the FIA need to be transparent, clear, and direct on this.
Well, I know what Connor's answer is going to be to this. Is we all go watch IndyCar.
Well, no. I need to spend more time for IndyCar. I will, but like, obviously, like, that's because I'm selfish and like I do think we could do better. But you
should be. That means you care.
Well, no, like I love racing, right? Like I think overall I'm a race fan. I was born a race fan. My dad was a Formula One driver. Like I have a passion for Formula One because I do realize how special it is. I have a photograph right outside this door that I'm about to put on my wall of my dad in the Tyrrell Formula One car at the Long Beach Grand Prix in 1980, you know, at 1980, I think, in 1981. Like I think it's awesome, right?
It's in your fucking blood, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but like I think blood could take a little bit more, you know, like I think it's just a matter of if people love motorsport, why not give them more, right? Like if people love motorsport, if people love Formula One, why not give them more, you know what I mean? And it's not the same thing, but it's pretty similar. But yeah, in regards to that penalty, I hate that stuff, but I think it also depends on what it is, right? Because Formula One cars right now, if you have a flappy wing, if you have a piece falling off your front wing, you're probably going to pit anyway because you can't even produce enough downforce with that wing, right?
Yep.
But if it's a mirror or maybe something related to the, you know, the barge boards on the car, whatever it is, I think that, like, the reason why I watch racing is because you never know what's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. If something happens to the car and the guy's still going, the driver's still going, like, you're here to race, right? It doesn't matter what happens. Cars hit each other all the time. Formula One, now, again, if they hit each other, not a lot of those cars continue. Like, there's not a lot of wheel bank. In IndyCar, we hit each other all the time, and like everyone still goes.
Square on or body work?
Well, both. Body work, square on, everything. The front wings on our cars are tough, like, real tough.
Notes from Alpine, understood.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I've seen people go directly into the rear of other cars is totally fine.
Okay.
So again, I think that that's I do know what happened with Haas and all the flappy bits and them getting black flag. I don't like that. I think we got the halo on the car to prevent some of that debris, right, from getting to the driver. Like,
but you guys have
point.
But you guys have the aero screen, for example. And if you know,
but that sucks. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it prevents everything. But debris is still going to be debris. Like, are we the safest in the aero screen? Yes, absolutely. Nothing's getting in there. Nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, IndyCar still goes full course yellow for pieces of debris because, again, it will damage the cars. It will cause accidents. Yeah. Like, you have to pick up debris. Yeah. But, again, in Alonso's case, to stop his race, to stop a heroic drive, to stop – to give a large penalty for something that, like, he can't control that, right? Like, that's, you know – if a mirror falls off your car, I'm sorry, but I'm going. Like, I don't care if whatever falls off, I'm still driving that sucker.
But there's been loads of races where teams have. Wasn't Max's one of Max's early races in Red Bull? He finished without a front wing. I know it because one of the fucking model cars deliberately doesn't have a mirror on it. Sorry, a mirror, sorry, not wing, but like stuff like that. So I guess their main concern is they don't want bits flying off and impacting anyone because that's fucking scary. You know, it's not a torsion bar. It's not, you're not going to have a Felipe Massa repeat, but, and I get that, but to have finished the race and then be like, they should have penalized it during the race or, you know, say come in and rip the fucking thing off, which you can do, which is probably faster than, like, for example, say you have an end plate broken off, you can smash the thing off the front wing. As long as the wing is intact and the element in the cascade is held, we change the front wing and it's 10 seconds. But fucking around with, I don't know. it's just, I don't know what the right answer is, honestly, because it just sucks seeing races ruined like that. Alonso had a spectacular recovery drive. Yeah.
Again, I understand the technicality of it. I know why people would protest it, because, again, every point in Formula One is a lot of money. Like, it's worth a lot of money, and everyone wants money. I don't know about you guys, but I like money.
I like cash.
Yeah.
Where do I get it?
It's somewhere. It's on a tree somewhere that we haven't discovered yet.
I'm going to go shake it.
Yeah, exactly. Shake the tree. Yeah, it was sad to see that, because it just dampens the effect of like that good feeling you get about seeing a cool race for one guy. You know what I mean? It's like, that was cool. Like it would have been the same way if like Vettel got penalized after that incredible last lap. Amazing.
I would have gone to war for
that.
Seb.
That was awesome.
I
would the same. Like, that was beautiful. I loved seeing that. Sebastian Vettel, true dog, true gangster, like just around the outside of a high speed corner. I love to see that.
You know, my first thought after the race was because I sat in the Red Bull hospitality unit at turn 17,
I was doing
the co-stream with F1 Ellie and Liam Lawson for a bit, which was super nice, but I still didn't get to see that much. But going back and watching the race, I don't know why I added that. I just was trying to flex a little bit. That was super fun, by the way. That was like the only time that I could actually see it was going on, because we could kind of see a TV and kind of hear what was going on.
Yeah.
So that was the only
time. Did you put the groundwork in to get us allowed back in? Are we not banned?
I think I'm good. We've got to do a little bit more work for you, but I can put some elbow grease on it, man. Well,
cheers. Thank you.
We're manifesting this, Connor. Next year, Dan and I are going to get invited back to the track.
Yeah.
I love that. You guys deserve it. I mean, come on. We're out here fighting a good fight for the sport.
We don't deserve it. We're so fucking fraudulent. We're so fucking shitty. No, but like on a serious note though, stay fraudulent, babies. No, but it sucks seeing Seb leaving, and I understand why he wants to leave. You know, it's like he doesn't feel like he's going to be in a competitive car again anytime soon, and you know, he's got other things in life that he wants to do, his family and other things. That's great, but it sucks seeing him dip out like that, especially after looking at like some of that exceptional racing that we're seeing in the midfield that he's delivering, and it's cool.
And, the passion that he had when he crossed the finish line there in Austin, like the guy still got it. You know what I mean? And like he celebrated as if he won the race. I mean, I've heard more, that was more exuberant of a celebration than Max had he won. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think when you're fighting for that, like when you know every position counts and you know that that car is not going to win races right now, I mean, that stuff means a lot. But it's the same. Like, the point system doesn't work the same for us in IndyCar. But like, my gosh, if you finish in the top 10, like, right, if you go from 11th to 10th in that final lap, the guys that you're beating, you know that it's like a lot of good people. And you're like, man, that feels good.
Yeah,
you know
it's rewarding, right?
Exactly. And I love to see that passion. The guy's not just like, all right, cool, good job, guys. You know what I mean? Like, he was he was over the moon, which is cool.
But to be fair, though, here's the other side of that coin. Do you think he would have been more excited to finish that way with that level of, you know, wheel to wheel that he had in those final laps versus finishing even further ahead if he hadn't had that super long stop for the slow front left wheel? He lost almost 10 seconds, I think, in that stop, didn't he? Similar to Max.
Well, as a driver, I know that when we put everything on the table and we don't make the mistake, then it's really satisfying. You know what I mean? Because then again, if the team messes up again, that's it. This is a team sport. There's so much of it that is the driver could have the best race of his life, but if they throw wheels the wrong direction in the pits, that day could be ruined. So again, he probably had one of the best drives of his life. You wouldn't notice it because he finished seventh or whatever it was, or eighth.
Yeah.
But I promise you that is a sad. I think he was very satisfied. I think he would have been satisfied both ways because Seb is a great man right now. I think he's a true legend overall. But that feeling of like you as a driver trying to make up for what happened is a strong feeling in the soul.
Yeah, I get that. But like, let's talk about that, because Max also was quite very upset. and you know, GP's super good about calming him and leveling him in those
I like
two,
GP. He was at Force India with us.
Yeah, exactly. I worked with GP my whole 6 years and he's still doing it. Fucking dork, get alive, touch some grass. But like Max was super pissed off, you know, and very But it is, you know, GP did remind him, he's like, man, this is a team. It's like, you know, when the driver has a mistake, which he hasn't had very many this year, but also the team's been pretty freaking good this year. Shit happens. But they came back. Should we, what are we thinking? Let's dig in. I'm going to get both of your takes on this. Mercedes had a really nice tweet, at, you know, congratulating Red Bull on their Constructors and Drivers Championship. And they said, we missed the battles on track. And I really enjoyed seeing Max and Lewis. Crofty tried to call it a switcheroo, I think, but let's not call it that. I don't want to use that word ever again. I don't even want to hear that on a broadcast ever again. Switcheroo is banned in the chat. Can mods be banned that?
Switcheroo!
Switcheroo! What are we thinking about that? What were you guys thinking when you saw that?
Max versus Hamilton.
Yeah.
I did have, like, I know it was only last year, but I did have a little bit of nostalgia. I was like, oh, I'll miss this. Because when they're both racing, I like that little moment of racing between Lewis and Max, I felt had more sauce than what we've seen Max racing against Charles.
I liked it as well. I think that's something that I wish Lewis would have fed him a bit more of a wheel breaking into the corner at the end of the straight. Like I was hoping for just a full on left hand dive down to the apex and be like, ain't no way you're getting around me here.
And
sadly it wasn't there. But again, respectable of Lewis. I think he knew that he was gonna get got no matter what, but I just wish there was a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say it this way. Like, as much as everybody got so pissed off last year and, you know, demonized one or the other, like, Lewis, this, Max, that, it's like, can we just take a minute to appreciate how fucking good that was last season? I know it ended with some DNFs. I know it ended with drivers being taken out of races, one or both. But I miss that, man. I miss that. And I really wish that the fans as a whole could take that and just be like, that's the result when you have two Titans going head to head. That's going to happen. Let it happen. It's not good guy, bad guy. Yes, the team principals are going to throw a spin on it because that's their job, is to politic it, right? Posture it and be like, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. But it's like, why do people have to buy into that narrative? Because I miss that a lot. We haven't seen much of it this year.
You know what the best part about this Max and Lewis battle was? Lewis getting on the radio talking about Max maybe being over track limits, and then like 30 seconds later he gets his warning for track limits. I was like, oh yeah, that's some beautiful shithousery there.
Yeah, but I get it. But like, Lewis wants, just like anybody else, he wants every advantage. He's like in the same tier vein as Alonso. Fucking cutthroat, he'll do it whatever it takes, man.
Hell yeah. If I was driving, I'd be exactly the same. I'd be like,
he touched the white line a little bit too hard.
He's not done his shoelaces up properly.
He called mom. Yeah. He said your mom's a hoe. I heard him.
See, we will all do that. Like, if you, anytime you think a driver's broken the rules, 1,000% report it. Because again, we might sound like a bit of a, like, ooh, yikes, that guy sounds like a bit of a loser. But like, I'm sorry, there are rules. And to be fair, yes, is Lewis probably in the lesser performing vehicle and he wants to have every chance that he gets?
Absolutely, yes, man.
But you would too. Like, if you had a Grand Prix that you were about to win or trying to win, you know what I mean? You'd report everything. You'd report if his car stank, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, it's smelly. They should probably check the radiators.
Yeah, but, you know what I mean? But meatball flag, I think it stinks a little bit. But no, I get it. Like, but like at the same time, you know, like, you know, let's say I'm not gonna lie. I'm a Max fan, right? And I'm watching that broadcast. I'm like, oh, Lewis is whining a bit. It's like, so be it, man. Like, but like you said, that is that driver fighting to get every single advantage that he could to have a chance at winning his first race. And Lewis really is only fighting that hard because he wants to see Dan with a bare face with no beard on it.
Whoa, it was close. I even got the shaver out. And I
saw your photo on Twitter. So Dan's got to deal with Merck winning a race this year. He's shaving the beard of wisdom off.
Yeah,
that's close. You're almost done.
Nearly.
I think we'll have to cancel the podcast or do it audio only if that's the case, because I just can't do it.
I was going
to
let you shave it.
Ooh, wow. Oh, we're gonna do an IRL stream.
Hands on.
From the garden, get a little campfire going.
No, fuck and, that. We're gonna drive to Brixworth or whatever.
Oh yeah, shave it out front on stream.
Just walk into their reception. Like, what the fuck are these guys doing? Don't worry, we're just shaving our mate. Leave them with the clippings.
That was a good battle to see the finish the race, though. It was something that, like, it got me. I mean, I was like, I wanted Lewis to win.
Yeah,
but I wanted to see Max catch him, right? I wanted to see a little bit of a duel, and there was a little bit of a duel, but like, I wish it could have lasted like two more laps. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
But you could tell that Lewis left everything on the table because his tires were absolutely schmozzled after that. Like, I mean, you could just see that. Like, he tried to stay there, tried to stay within the second, but then those things were just goosed, and he was out of it. Like, I mean, 100%. He was gone. He was dead. And I wish those fan bases didn't hate each other as much.
No,
like,
exactly.
They can't appreciate the racing as much as they just want to hate each other. Like, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Only one winner in racing, guys. That's how it works. There's not a co-winner. Like, someone wins, someone loses. There's a lot of crap that happens behind the scenes. There's a lot of politickery. But guess what? Sorry, one person wins. And guess what? They probably have another chance at being the winner next year. That's it. Dude. That's it.
I really wish more people could embrace that. Like these fan bases like to make up these very interesting, elaborate fan fiction stories about their opponent. And it's like, oh my God. Like, it's not that deep, man. This is race cars. Okay. This is race cars.
It doesn't matter how much you insult the other fan base. They have the trophy or they don't. I'm sorry. That's it.
But also,
you
fuck
can be
you.
Positive and look to the next race. How about that?
But also, fuck you.
But also, yeah, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm not always right, but I feel like I try to use logic every now and then.
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of takes us, like, that was kind of like our scatterbrain take through the race. And we had all of Connor's insight on what it's like to actually be behind a wheel because I did an F1 22 video for Codemasters and EA before the race. And I basically didn't have time to do the full video and put a lap in. But that track, from my limited experience, is a super interesting circuit. It's so, like, there's so much techie stuff in that. And there's different ways to do different things. And it's super challenging. And seeing these guys going wheel to wheel around this track is so, so good. And it was a recipe for a great race.
Sorry, I was just going to...
No, go on. Jump
butt in as usual.
I miss you.
I miss you too. You fucking throw me off now, you bastard. What was I going to say? Oh yeah, that was it. What were the bumps like on the track this year? Because I know it's in the history. It's been a bit. They've complained about the bumps and things like that. Is it? I didn't really hear anything. I don't know if they sorted that out or if it doesn't really bother the 2022 cars that much.
They did repave sections of it. Yeah. So when we tested there, it was right after F1 and everyone had complained about the bumps. And like when we got there, I'm not gonna lie, even in our cars, which are pretty girthy, they're big units, it was bumpy. And bumpier than you'd expect out of a, you know, proper F1 circuit with plenty of runoff and fancy curbs and all that.
You mean
stuff,
a purpose built circuit that was built on a swamp?
Well, yeah, everyone, you know, we've seen plenty of swamps in motor racing. Yeah,
Motorsport Ranch Houston, built on a swamp.
Oh, can't wait to get there in our Chevy El Camino.
I've been deep, deep in the mud in that track before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but
they did repave sections of it, and I do believe, I didn't hear as much about the bumps. You could see it every now and then, but like, it's going to be bumpy because of all the elevation at some point, right? But thankfully, I think the track did adhere to the comments about like, hey, this is gonna suck if you don't fix it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's super good. What else do we have in the race? I feel like we call it, you know, let's go to in a fraudulent manner. We'll try to wrap this up. Let's go fraudulently, some shenanigans. What was up with the dude from Apple waving the flag? You know, you just get done seeing Seb having this brilliant exchange back and forth and back and forth. And then this dude who's on fucking power saving mode waving his I flag. And I was like,
yeah,
he
didn't download the latest software update for emotions. Him and Mark Zuckerberg come from the same factory.
Yeah.
Oh, they're aliens. I mean, yeah, I'm not exactly. They're aliens. I mean, Tim Cook is an alien. I think he doesn't. He's not from this planet. I think.
No.
Same Mark Zuckerberg. I think they're aliens. I'm not. So is Elon Musk. Aliens. They're all aliens.
Yeah, aliens.
They don't They don't know what's going on around them in real settings like that. I'm sorry, but they're aliens.
Yeah, I get it. And then, did you guys catch Martin Brundle calling Will Buxton out on Twitter? If anybody hasn't caught it, Brundle got basically stiffed by Mr. Pitt, yeah. And then Will Buxton's like, we get a list of everybody that doesn't want to be approached on the grid, and then all the journalists just chime in, and Martin's like, it's bullshit. And everybody else is like, I've never seen that. And then Will produces a list, and it looks like it's just a list of people that are there, not a list of people that do or don't want to be interviewed. So Brad Pitt, also an alien, perhaps, but that was some classic.
Will only gets that, though, because he's part of F1 TV, I think, doesn't he? Because he's obviously got a different deal to everyone else.
Seeing that, like seeing the poor Martin, I like Martin Brundle a lot. The guy's a legend. I raced with his kid. Like, he raced with my dad. Like,
yeah.
If you go to an F1 race, you should know who Martin Brundle is. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry, but if you have ever watched a race, I don't care where you're from. I don't care what. I mean, if you're a celebrity and you think you're just going to go there because you watched a Netflix show, that's awesome. But, like, be prepared to be a part of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because you're a celebrity. Like, that, let's be honest, that is the main TV broadcast of the whole world, right? Like, we get it in America. Like, we even in America get to watch Martin Brundle and the great British broadcast team because they do the best job, right? They're doing an incredible job.
Yeah, for sure. It's great.
Know who he is. I'm sorry. It's but no excuses.
But, like, also, I found it a little bit weird that Brad's also doing a Formula One movie.
Yeah. Oh.
And never mind all the other really, really great stuff about him as a person, but never mind any of that. But he's doing a fucking Formula One movie and can't be arsed to talk to Martin Brundle. Like, if you've ever even fucking sniffed a Formula One race, you watched a pre-race show, you know exactly who the cunt is.
He's not going to ask you for your whole life story.
No,
he's not going to ask you something stupid. He's like, hey, what are you doing recently? And who do you like today? How hard is that to answer?
No, it's not.
Oh,
or, you know, something like, tell me about your Formula One movie. Oh, it's this and that. It's going to be amazing. Great. Check it out. It's coming out here. We're recording whatever. Bye. 2 seconds. He's just like, anyway.
Didn't you?
Brundle isn't TMZ. He's not going to ask you, like, oh, what's going on with your ex-wife? You know, no one cares. Who are you supporting? Like, seriously.
I didn't realize so many celebrities feared Martin Brundle, but there you go.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
He's not that scary.
No. But didn't you get to photobomb him, Blake? Didn't you just basically...
Yeah. I was so...
As you walked past, you just get someone to film you in the background or whatever.
It wasn't just someone. I was actually having a chat in real life with our buddy, Tony Cohen Brown. So she's like, oh, it's Brad. And she's filming. And then he walks past and she's like, they're like this. I ruined her photo. I didn't get out of the way.
You fucking tourist.
What a tourist. But, like, come on. I don't get to do that much. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. So that was the Austin Grand Prix. I'm gonna focus on this a bit more in my video. I'm working on a little vlog style F1 experience video. What I thought about it. I'm gonna be honest with you guys, and you guys will hear it here first. I'm not cut out to be a Formula One spectator at the track. I just like
well, that's okay, a lot of money. You weren't cut out to be an F1 engineer either, Blake. So
no, I had to get the fuck out of there for sure. You know, but to be fair though, I was going in at the same time as the teams were going in, and I was leaving when they left. And, you know, okay, I wasn't doing work, but I was stood out in the sun half the day. I was working and I was recording stuff all the time. It's exhausting, man. I forgot how exhausting it is. And you guys know, or Connor, you know what it's like from race weekends with you, man. It's full on, and it's tiring. You have to love it. But I think if I go back to a Formula One race again, they need to have good signals so that I can at least have the F1 timing app up so I can see sectors and lap times, because I was blind. The service was non-existent out there. I had no idea what was going on in qualifying. I didn't know who got pole. I just knew that, like, there was the checkered flag out and no more cars were coming. And on the tower at the pit lane exit was the Ferraris on top. So I was like, okay, that's it. Cool.
That's the race. Good as the U.S. Grand Prix is, and like Austin is, there are so many things that are not hard from a large event perspective that they are missing on. Right.
What would you say that list of things is? Like, if you could improve the spectator experience at a racing circuit, and Dan, you've been to a couple, so feel free to weigh in. Like, what would you want to see that would like be a feasible thing to add to the enthusiast viewer experience? Because I feel like the enthusiasts get kind of shit on because all you see is cars going around.
So, I mean, I know this is, a point, I point to IndyCar, right? But the Indy 500, no matter what your fan base is, right, it is the largest attended sporting event in the world on the day, right? Like, it is. That there are the most people. There are double the amount of people that were at Austin for the race, like, at our facility, right? It's just a fact. Traffic flows quite decently in and out of there, right? Like, and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is in Speedway, Indiana. Like, it's not far out of our, like, downtown metropolis. Like, is there traffic? Yeah. But, like, COTA is in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of giant roads, a bunch of different, like, it took an hour to leave. I was texting with Logan Sargent trying to leave Saturday night. It was awful. Like,
dude,
and
we were stuck. We were stationary for ages.
You can't miss on that. I'm sorry, but you just, it's hard. Everyone expects a little bit of traffic, but
don't
if
you tell
leave
Paul Ricard about this.
Yeah. If you leave at 8 p.m., I'm sorry, you should be able to get home within an hour. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough.
So infrastructure's lacking massively.
Infrastructure, but cell phone boosting towers. I'm sorry, that's not hard to get. Like, if the 500, it's the biggest event in the world, you can still text people. Like, is it a little bit slower? But they bring in, like, I know my stepdad is president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, thankfully, like, not to brag, but like the guy knows what's going on. Like the guy knows that, hey, if people want to come to an event, they want to be able to text their friends. They want to be able to interact on where they're at.
They want
to
meet up,
tweet where they're at. They want to be able to Instagram where they're at. That is huge, right? Yeah. It's huge. Live timing apps. Like we have IndyCar has an app too. Who would have thought? But you can follow live onboards of the guys that have the onboards on the app. You can see the timing. You see all that stuff. It's great. Live throttle, live brake, all that stuff. You see it on the app, right?
Cries in SkyGo.
Exactly. So if you have that, you got to be able to use it. And so again, there are a lot of great things about Austin. It looks beautiful. There are great grandstands. There are great concerts at event. But there are simple things that I think again, you could make it better for everyone that does spend an ungodly amount of money to be there.
Yeah, I think honestly the two things, service. And I think you've nailed it. Like if I had, a headphone in my phone with a timing app and I could hear the broadcast and hear what's going on, because I couldn't hear shit. I mean, the Formula One cars are not that loud. So I can plug an ear in. I can still chat with my buddies. I can still, like, if I want to see what's going on, I can see what's going on. But like, I was just lost, man. There was no signal.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed getting to see it, smell it, and be amongst all the fans because it was super cool. It was super cool. But at the same time, it's just like, I'm not able to enjoy the race the way I want to enjoy the race. You know, I can enjoy the experience, but I can't enjoy the racing because I have no fucking idea what's going on. And it was frustrating.
I didn't watch like a single session from either a grandstand or from like out in the pit lane. Like I got to maybe go into the paddock, like into those little pit lane boxes. Like I went into McLaren's once in FP1, maybe twice in FP1, a little bit in FP2, and then none in qualifying because Brad Pitt was in Williams' box or whatever, so couldn't go in there. Weren't allowed to go in there. So it's hard. All the F1 teams use those little viewing areas in their pit boxes for like cool people or people who pay a lot of money to be a part of their team. You know what I mean? So again, if you're in the paddock, awesome. Like, be prepared to not see anything unless it's on a television. You know what I mean?
You're there for a different experience. If you want, like, I had to go back and rewatch the sessions.
Yeah.
With a 24-ounce White Claw. Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, brother. That is fucking rad. So, why don't we, you guys, I think we should wrap it here, but I want to give Connor a second to plug everything that he's doing. You've got a cool podcast up. I caught an episode on the plane. Let us know your socials where you can find it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, man. And then Dan and I will let everybody know what we're doing next week because we'll just talk about. We'll do it live right now. So where can everybody find you? Your podcast, your socials, anything you want to tell our listeners and viewers your OnlyFans account that you're about to launch that your girlfriend doesn't know about.
Yeah, if only, man. There's a lot of people making money on that platform, that's for sure. But so anyway, yeah, I appreciate it, man. Honestly, thanks for having me on. I love
coming on, bro. It's awesome.
You've created a great Twitch channel that I enjoy following, even though I don't like Tarkov. I don't like that game.
it's because you're just not built for it, bro.
Well, maybe. Apparently, I wasn't built for F1 either, so it's fine.
Don't be like that. Don't be like that.
Neither were we, so it's okay. Yeah. We're all friends here.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I appreciate it. Our podcast is called Speed Street. Dale Earnhardt Jr. Owns we're under the Dirty Mo Media banner. Which is really cool. He's got a great
Super
show.
Cool.
Dale Jr. Download. They do a great job. And again, we talk about all racing. Like we just did a show that's going to come out later today or tomorrow about the F1 race. We like to talk about NASCAR. We like to talk about IndyCar. We like to talk about everything that's going on in motorsport. And kind of just give us a bit of a ground level view at it. You know, I'll try to go at it from the driver's perspective. Joey, my co-host, goes at it from, hey, he's a fan. He's a race fan, but he gets into it from his perspective too. So that's on all podcast platforms. You can pretty much get it wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'm pretty much at ConnorDaily22 on everything. I'm on the Twitchosphere here. I'm a big Twitch guy. I like to do the Twitching. I try to do that as much as possible. I like to play iRacing. I like to play Apex Legends. I'm going to play the new Call of Duty when it comes out.
Pierre Gasly
over the weekend was mad at me for not playing Call of Duty with him as much. So apparently, Pierre Gasly, also big Call of Duty guy. So me and him will probably be getting into the Warzone here soon.
Are you going to send me an invite for a DMZ in Warzone 2? We're going
to
play some Warzone 2.
Look, we're ready to drop hot and probably collect some dog tags.
Get,
you know what
get
I mean?
Wet.
Like, we know how
we'll
it
get
works.
Wet.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and if anybody's listening on audio, it's Connor with one N, Daily 22 on all the freaking socials. And one more time for the podcast.
ConorDaily 22. Like a lot of people spell my name wrong. I'm like Conor McGregor, but like less successful, less rich, and I won't punch you in the street. So that's kind of how it is. Speed Street on all the podcast platforms. Well, I just went blurry there.
There you go.
Speed Street, ConorDaily 22 on everything. And please give IndyCar a chance.
Absolutely.
If you don't mind, and if you're in America, if you're across the world, whatever it is, just give IndyCar a chance. That's all we ask for. We're not asking for your dedication. We're just saying,
That's on my radar for the season is to, because I've got a good buddy who's a race engineer in IndyCar, and I'm overwhelmed with F1. I'm like, I want to make some time and enjoy some more motor racing because I feel like I'm missing variety and context from only doing F1. And I hope it's a better season next season. This was a great season for Red Bull. It was interesting to see Mercedes, starting off on the back foot, but they're going to be back next season for sure. Here's the last question for both of you guys before we get out of here. I don't think we did this earlier in the show. Dan, which team is going to make the leap up to the top? So we've got Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull. I think those guys are stationary. Like those guys are going to be, the tier one. Who is coming out of tier two to join them next? Which team?
Aston Martin.
Okay.
Papa Stroll is going to cash them checks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snap some necks.
Yeah.
And we've got Magic Alonso coming on with Lance, I think Lance has become a pretty solid driver. Like at first I wasn't sold, but no, he's reasonable.
Apart from,
his
when
defensive
he decides
maneuvers.
To just, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Connor, who are you going with? It's okay if you pick the same one.
No. I do agree with him on Aston. I do, and I do like all those folks there. There's still a lot of people that were there when we were there. So
exactly.
I have a connection in my heart because I feel like I drove for that team at one point.
And it's a good team.
It is. I would like to. I don't know if I want to. I would like to say Alpine because I like Pierre Gasly. He's a homie.
Yeah, for sure. He's solid.
I would like to think Williams gets a little bit higher, like goes from being like maximum suck to like slightly not sucking. You know what I mean?
But like who's going to join the tier one racing next?
Mercedes.
Including, let's assume Mercedes is going to bridge.
Mercedes isn't tier one. Like, come on.
But they're close. Let's say next season they're close. Who's joining those three in tier one?
Then it has to be Aston because I don't see Alpine doing it and I don't see... well, I mean, McLaren, McLaren, I'm going to go McLaren to be different.
Yeah.
I'm going to go McLaren.
That's
P People are saying Oscar Piastri is going to be a bust. I you didn't hear it from me. I don't know the guy at all.
Okay. But all right. So we
that's
heard it here.
My
Connor...
most interesting storyline is okay. I don't know Oscar. Never seen the guy. Never met him. But I know there's a lot of drama. I don't like how that whole situation played out. But can't wait to see how McLaren does, because I know Lando's a dog and he's good. He's so solid. I can't wait to see him be successful and hopefully fight for a world championship.
I would really like. Honestly, I feel like McLaren should be the next team to bridge that gap up to the big dogs. But how have they not done it yet? Mm. There's a new regs and a shakeup. So let's see. I think next season will be interesting. Interesting.
What type of world would we be living in if there was a four-way fight for a championship between McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes, and Red Bull? I mean, what?
Oh my God!
What type of? I mean, I might not even.
Connor's on fraud watch. Connor's just gone on fraud watch.
Twitter. Whoa. Twitter wouldn't even cope.
No. You'd have people would have meltdowns.
No, there would be a civil war, I think, over F1 stan accounts.
I don't think people's brains could cope with that type of diversity in a race championship. You know what I mean?
No, like, oh way, bro. Oh my God. Somebody in chat. So we do stream this live on Twitch at break with 3 hours, and somebody says, "Stop, Connor. I can only get so hard."
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, whoa, that's exciting.
Oh my God. All right, homies. Why don't we do this? Why don't we wrap it? Connor, thank you so much. It was so fucking good to see you again in the flesh, homie.
Yes.
Keep crushing it. Let's keep in touch. Guys, be sure to check out Connor. Check out his podcast as well. Nothing But Love. And it's on my list of things I will do this coming year is spend more time, you know, maybe not geeking out on IndyCar, but like, you know,
give start, it a watch.
Get some races in, because I do like it. Like it's fucking awesome, and I just need to make some more time for it. And
maybe me and you, Blake, could do a little watch along.
Ooh, IndyCar watch along.
I'll
right,
come
done.
Around to
done.
Yours. We'll have a few brewskis.
Yeah, bruh.
Because we're at different times in the F1 races, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
9 times out of 10, we're on at different times.
manifesting it now. Engine Braking Podcast, IndyCar watch along, and yeah. Why not ride along? Can you race in a tandem car and take Dan?
No, but we do have a great IndyCar 2-seater.
Bro,
we'll put you
I ain't going to fit. You know, yes, I mean, let's
I
be real.
You. I saw Sean Merriman of the Los Angeles Chargers jump in one of those. That guy's 6'8", 250. Like, he's a big fella.
He's a big old lad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, dude, we're going to let you get out of here. I'm gonna let you guys go. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're busy. But it's off season, so I didn't feel too bad harassing. Dude, it's been a pleasure. When yeah, Warzone 2 drops, let's hop in. We'll get Dan to get some Warzone 2 and maybe record an episode of the game, or record an episode during a Warzone Battle Royale.
I've got children, Blake. You know it's a struggle to even get permission to do this. Like, come on, let's be real.
My cats are outside ripping the carpet up, so I gotta go. I've got children. But anyway, guys, I'm gonna let you get out of here. Have a great night. Great afternoon. Thanks for hanging out. And this thing will be live tomorrow everywhere. So we'll see you guys soon. All right.
Peace.
Peace out. Peace. You got anything to tell everybody, Dan?
Yeah, fuck off.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice of the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.